Thank you for joining us here at Truth and Love Ministries for this week's message, where it is our desire to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. So connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or leave us a message on our website at truthandlove.tv. While you're there, stay in the know with our weekly news broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Now here's the message, already in progress.
Three from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. If you don't have your Bible, we got one for you on the screen. St. Luke chapter 11, verse number 43, and it reads, "When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" Let me read it again. He says, "When he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" Amen. This morning we're in part number 3 of I'm Living Again series. This morning from the topic, the purpose of pain. The purpose of pain. Come on, why don't you put your hands together for the word of the Lord, the purpose of pain. You may have your seat. Father, we ask you to help us. We ask you to open up our hearts and our minds. We might be able to receive your engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. We thank you for all that you've done and for all that you're going to do. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you all of the honor. Thank you for your word. Your word gives us life. Your word gives us light. We thank you, God, because you are our all-sufficient one. Now we ask you, God, to open up our hearts and our minds. We might be able to speak to us like never before. It's in Jesus' name. Somebody who love them all to shout amen. Amen. St. John chapter 11. St. John chapter 11. This morning, the purpose of pain. Yes, I see it. I was trying to do it on the slide so they can catch me. I saw it. They didn't. So St. Luke chapter number 11. Thank y'all so much. Y'all so attentive. Y'all so give yourselves a hand. For the last several weeks, we've been ministering. We've been talking. We've been teaching. As we've been getting closer and approaching what we call in the Christian community Resurrection Sunday. You and I, we know it. We've been growing up and we've called it Easter Sunday. But those of you that are believers and those of us that are believers, we refer it to it as Resurrection Sunday because we don't want to get it convoluted with this other holiday or people thinking that we're doing something pagan, but that doesn't matter. I'm just intentional on calling it Resurrection Sunday. I know just like in Christmas time, I'm not worshiping no Christmas tree. I'm not worshiping no bunnies or no eggs or anything, but I am just being intentional. Just as in Christmas, I'm not going to take the Christ out of Christmas. I'm not going to X him out. So it is in resurrection. I'm not going to take the resurrected Savior out of the season because he is the reason for every season. He's the reason for every season. So here, what we've been doing, we've been walking. We've been slow dragging, if you will, as we get to Resurrection Sunday. And we've been talking about, really been lifting out of the gospel stories, those encounters that Jesus Christ had with various individuals in whom he raised them from the dead. Several weeks ago, we talked about the widow from Nain, how her son was literally on his way to the cemetery. The Bible says he stopped the funeral procession. He said the word of God, and the young boy sat up and began to talk to his family. On last week, we talked about how Jairus was on his way to try to pull and beg Jesus to come to his house for his little 12-year-old girl, but a woman with the issue of blood that had had it for 12 years intersected that transaction, and here Jesus, by the time he got to the house, a little girl had already died, but the Bible said Jesus spoke a word to her and rose her from the dead. And here, as we look at this story this morning, as relates to Lazarus, this is, if you will, the cream of the crop. This is, if you will, this is the crux or the very crossing point or the very foundation. Or here it is, this single story, this single thing that Jesus did, this single miracle that Jesus did, this was the thing that literally sent him to the cross. The Bible says that how even the fact that where he raised this young boy from Nain from the dead, this young boy had died that same day. Here, Jairus' daughter was only dead for a little bit of time because Jesus was on his way to the house. But here, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And here, the master tarried on purpose the way he could show what it was that he was capable of doing. Here, we all know this story. We all know what's going on, and we all know what's happening. But this morning, my point is just to try to lift some things from this story that help us gain some information and to hopefully some inspiration to let us know the purpose for our pain. Here, Jesus in chapter 10 of John, the Bible talks about how he emphatically said that he and his father was one. They said, me and my father one. So I don't want us to get any, I don't want us to get it watered down. I don't want us to get it confused. Jesus was God. He was God in the flesh. And let me say it this way, Jesus is God. Here the Bible says in the beginning, John in his gospel, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. And the Word became flesh. Verse 14, and became among us, and dwelt among us rather, and we beheld the goodness and the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus was and is God. When he was here on earth, he was very man in the flesh and God in the flesh. That's what the theologians, they call it the hypostatic union, just a $4 word that means 100% man and 100% God. Jesus was and is God. So I don't want you to get that watered down, because we have to know that before there was ever a Bible, before there was ever a preacher, before there was ever a praise team, before there was ever a when or where or this or that, I need to let you know that Jesus was there. The Bible says that before the mountains were formed, before the clouds were there, before the firmament, the Bible says that he possessed him in the beginning of his way. Jesus is the only individual that we know that is the same age as his father, but older than his mama. Y'all ain't gonna help me in here. Jesus, he's the same age as his daddy, but he was older than his mama. Jesus was and is God. And so everything that he did, even John points this out in the end of his gospel. John gives us the purpose for reading or writing his gospel. He tells us in chapter number 20, he says that everything that I wrote, it has a purpose. Everything that I wrote, it was for you and I, that where we can know and that we can see that Jesus was the Son of the living God. He said there were many, many different things that were wrote. There were many, many different things that happened, rather. I could have wrote a whole lot of things, John is saying, but John said, I picked out these particular things that we can know that Jesus is God. 7 miracles that John really hangs his hat on. 7 things that Jesus did. He turned the water into wine. He healed a nobleman's son. The Bible said that he healed the man in chapter 5 that was at the pool of Bethesda. And then there was another miracle where he fed 5,000. And then there was another miracle where there was a man that was born blind in chapter 9. But here in chapter 11, I told you, this is the cherry on top. This is the miracle of all miracles. This is the thing that separates the men from the boys. This is the thing that let us know that Jesus is exactly who it was that he said he was. From the beginning, as I said, of John's gospel, even into chapter 10, Jesus told them emphatically that I am God. He said that I am the door. He said I am the light of the world. He'll say a little later, I am the true vine and my father is the husbandman. He told them I am the bread of life. He gives them 7 I ams, even as his 7 miracles. He completely reveals to them who he is. You know, 7 is the number of completion. He completely reveals to them who he is. So here, there's a purpose, there's a reason. I'm so glad that God does not just haphazardly let me walk through life. I'm so glad that God just doesn't be sitting up there like we was as children, but think about God sitting on an old rocking chair with his long white beard, just sitting up there rocking and saying, well, let me cause some trouble in Mother Gray's house today. Let me cause some trouble in Bro Holly's house. No, God is not just sitting up there and acting as if he don't have nothing to do. But everything he lets us go through is to get us to. Everything he lets us go through is for a purpose. It's for a reason. And can I tell you, I want to let you in on something. There's even a purpose for your pain. There's even a purpose for your pain. Here, I'm not making it up. Look right here in John chapter 11. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says when Jesus heard this, heard what? That his friend Lazarus was sick. He said that this sickness is not to the end in death. This sickness is not to end in death, but for what? That say the glory of God. He said this sickness is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may what? Be glorified in it. So here Jesus heard the word that Lazarus was sick, and he said that this sickness that Lazarus is encountered is not going to end in his demise. It's not going to end as it relates to in his death. He said, but no, there's a bigger purpose for what Lazarus is going through. Number one, what is the thing that God uses? What is the purpose for my pain? The number one reason, it is survey says, ding ding ding, it is to get God glory. Can I tell you, he wants to give God, he want to get God some glory. He said, I want to tell you about Lazarus, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, so the Son of God may be glorified in it. He says that Lazarus, have God have allowed this thing to happen to him and to come and knock on his door. Even the fact that Lazarus was Jesus' friend, this did not exempt Lazarus and his family for having to go through. But no, the Bible says that the only reason why God let trouble hit this house was simply to give him some glory and to get him some glory. Can I let you in on a little secret? I know nobody here but us, we can really talk. Can I tell you that God let the trouble hit your house just simply so you can get God some glory? God allowed what it is that you're going through, allowed that situation to bother you the way that it bothered you, the way you can say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. God wants to get some glory. He wants you and I to know that no matter what we face, no matter what is going on in our lives, it is the posture of a believer to give him some praise, to give him some glory, and to give him some honor. See, I don't praise him because I'm going through. I praise him in spite of the fact that I'm going through. I push on through and I do what I need to do because he's worth it all. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of honor. And here you got fire to give God some glory. Here your husband walked away from you to give you some glory. You found that erroneous text message in your wife's phone to give God some glory. It's not to destroy you. It's not for you to cower. It's not for you to tuck your tail and run. But no, it's simply for you to give God some glory. I want to warn you this morning. Warning. I feel like preaching this morning. So if y'all don't get in where you feeling, I've been there, took that plane off, and y'all be waiting on me to get started, and I'll be done by the time you get on board. Yeah. I want to get God some glory. Yeah, so there's the purpose for your pain. God just ain't letting you go through, but no, there's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for it. So here, turn your complaining into praising. Turn your murmuring into praising, because here you want to bring God some glory. Here, look at verse 5. Let me give you the second reason or the second purpose for your pain. Here, listen, the Bible says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So here, not only they get God some glory, but here it is. It leaps right off the text to display God's love. The purpose for my pain is to get God some glory. And here, not only that, but also to display God's love. John, who is what I call the love doctor. John, when you find John, when you look at the other apostles here, Peter had a knife in his pocket. Peter was the one that'll stick you. Peter was the one that if you get a little too close, he'll pull his little Swiss Army knife. I don't know if it was a Swiss Army knife, the way he cut that dude off, a clean cut to it. It was only one swoop and it cut a man. Peter was trying to fight. Peter was trying to use some expletives. He was using some profanity. When you look at Thomas was doubting. Bartholomew, we don't know nothing about him. But here, John, the Bible says in his own gospel, he is the disciple whom Jesus loved. John with his humble self. The disciple, he writing about himself, talking about the disciple whom Jesus loved. Can I tell you that all of us ought to feel that way? Y'all look at somebody and say, you know I'm God's favorite, don't you? You know I'm God's favorite. You know I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. See, all y'all want to be from the tribe of Judah. All y'all want to be Canaanites and Shilites and Termites. I want to tell you I'm a favorite. Y'all ain't going to help me here. I'm one of God's favorite. I'm the one that lay my head in his head. Come on, where my spoiled children at? The way you know you can call your mama and call your daddy, you know you can get to the point that we can get anything you want out of because I'm their favorite. Here, that's who John was. John was the one that laid his head in the breast of Jesus, and here he talked about the love of God. He talked about how God loved us. That's where we get that model scripture. That's where we get one of the most famous scriptures in all the Bible, John 3:16. For God so, come on, help me preach, so loved the world. So here, even in this small passage, John details many different times. He details to us that Jesus loved these individuals. He tells us over and over and over again that Jesus loved them. And not only did Jesus love them, they loved Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus loved them. He loved them with a reservation. It was not any reservation in his love, but he loved them. So here, can I tell you that God let this pain hit this family so that he could display his love? That doesn't make any sense in our earthly interpretation of things. Because if you say, if you love me, you wouldn't let me go through anything. If you really love me, you wouldn't let me experience this pain. But any good parent or any good teacher knows that if I don't hurt you, I'm not helping you. If I just let you do what you want to do and I don't correct you, if I don't speak into your life, here the Hebrew writer says that anyone that whom the Lord loveth, he chastens them. Anyone the Lord loveth, I wish I can quote to you what the Message Bible says. I'm not going to say it because y'all going to think I'm trying to cuss on the slide, but I promise you the Message translation says anyone that the Lord loved, he tried to beat the heck out of them. Y'all ain't gonna help me. I know 9 o'clock is my real super saved group, so I want y'all to come back next week. So I just going on, let you read it for yourself in Hebrew chapter 12. Read it from the Eugene Patterson translate, the Message translation. He said anyone that the Lord loved, he beat the ham fat out of them. Getting a little closer. If I try one more time, I believe y'all let me go on and say it and won't walk up out of here. But here you gotta know, I ain't gonna do it. I promise I want y'all to come back. Don't do it. To display the HE double hockey sticks. Get a little closer there. To display God's love. That's why God lets us go through, to display his love. That's why he lets us encounter what we encounter, so he can show us that he loves us. And God chastens us. God rebukes us. God whoops us. God spanks us. God allows pain in our lives so he can help us and develop us and make us and to mold us into being the children that he wants us to be. And I'm so glad that God just doesn't let me wander aimlessly through my life, but know there's a purpose for my pain, and I can trace my pain back to a place. I can trace my pain back to a point. I can trace my pain to something to say, I had to go through all of that to get to this, because there is a glory that will be revealed. God loves you. That's why you're going through what you're going through. If you were not a part of his family, he would just simply just let you do what you do. But so that's it helps bring me an bring understanding and clarity to my life, to know that I don't have to get all out of sorts. I don't have to get all worried. I don't have to get all discombobulated because things are happening. No, God is trying to show me that he loves me. He loves me. But look at verse 6. It says, so when he heard that he was sick, being his friend Lazarus, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. So Jesus loves him, but yet this does not put him to a place to where he gets in a hurry. He heard that Lazarus was sick, but he stayed 2 days longer. So thirdly, the purpose for my pain is to teach me to wait on him. God allows purpose or pain in my life to teach me to wait on him. I've learned, and maybe you'll get in with this, I've learned that my 911 is not God's emergency. Just because it's a 911 in my neck of the woods does not mean that that makes God get in a hurry. But no. In fact, whenever it is I get in a hurry and I just need God like yesterday, that to me that seems as if it makes him slow down a little bit. God doesn't get in a hurry. So he's teaching us. He's teaching me. He's teaching you how to wait on him. Can I tell you, it's a miserable place in your life to want God to deliver and he hasn't showed up yet? You want to be miserable? Look for God or tell God, I need you to do this by this date. And then the calendar keep turning. Days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. Months turn into years. Years turn into decades. And then you still got your finger on that date right there. God, if you don't do it by time I'm this, I don't know what I'm going to do. I want to be married. You know y'all like to map out our lives. But I want to be married by the time I'm 35. I want to get my degree. I want to walk across that stage. And I want to walk. I still want to have my step now. I want to be going across the stage like the person in Walmart. No, I want to be going across the stage. I want to be able to slide across it. So I need to be getting, I need them to be calling my name. Young. But what you do is when you put a time frame, I need kids by this time. I want to be married by this time. I want the dream job by this time. I want to build my house from the ground up by this time. What you do is you put God in hostage. And when it doesn't happen, and oftentimes it doesn't, now all of a sudden you got a problem with him. And here, oftentimes, I've learned this, that the things that we are waiting on God to do, he never promised us. Let me stop there for a moment because I want that to simmer. I want to put that in the crock pot for a minute. I don't even want to use my preaching voice on that. I want to talk through that because I want you to get that. Most of the things that we say that we're waiting on God to do, he never said he was going to do it. He never promised us that. He never promised me this and that and all of this. But no, because I believe, I'm going to put my faith on it. I'm going to claim it. You claim it all you want. If it's not his will, it's not his bill. If this is not God's choice, he will not say, give me that invoice. Come on, y'all. I can make it as a rapper. Don't play with me up in here now. I can make some stuff rhyme. Now, some people call me Wheelie, yo. You don't know the dilly, yo. I keep it really, yo. I can rap now, so don't you look at me like that in that tone of voice. You know that was the flow. Talking about Fitty. I got a Fitty. Here, he teaches me to wait on him. And that's what God does when my pain is developing me. My pain is molding me. And he's saying to me, he's saying, I'm teaching you to wait on me. Yes, you do know what you're going to do if God don't come by your deadline. You're going to keep on waiting. You're going to keep on trusting. And you're going to get a little smarter the next time. And you're not going to give him a deadline. And you're going to say, God, whenever it is you do it. God, whatever it is you say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to wait on you until you bring that thing to pass. And here Jesus heard that his friend was sick. But he stayed there 2 more days. He didn't get in a hurry. He waited for that thing to fester. He waited on that thing to get worse. He waited on that thing to get to the point that where nobody could intervene but him. Can I tell you that God is strategically and sovereignly setting you up for a situation that where nobody can help you but him? See, if your mama still can send you a Western Union and help you up out of there, that's not big enough for God. See, if you can go by your friend's house and they can give you those words that make you feel better, can I tell you that's not big enough for God? Can you go to the place and you can knock on the door and you get your desired result is not not big enough for God, when I'm looking for God to show up in situations where only he can help, when only he can deliver, this one looks like a job for God. I'm going to move out the way because it's gotten so big, it's gotten so ugly, it's gotten so hurtful, it's gotten so painful that only God can deliver. He's teaching me to wait on, to wait on, to wait on, to wait on him. Here, look, let me lift this up. Let me hurry. John chapter 11, verse 7 again, it says, and then after this, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. Mind you, they're trying to kill Jesus. He's running for his life. And he's going right back into the same place where all of those that want his life are at. Verse 8 said, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. Verse 10 says, but if